In our gospel this morning, we see another example of an alliance formed between two religious groups who essentially despised one another, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the priestly class who scripture scholars and historians told us were liberal and largely secular in their outlook. When the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem, the Sadducees ceased to exist. They were in charge of temple worship prior to that, and they worried more about money and pleasing Caesar than the spiritual affairs of their people and fidelity to God. The Pharisees were religious zealots, many of them experts of the law, that is, the Mosaic law, and they had a strong desire to rid the Jewish people of the Roman occupation. As with last week's interaction between Jesus and the Herodians and Pharisees, Jesus refuses to be trapped by either group. Jesus simplifies the law, putting it within everyone's grasp, and states that if we love God and neighbor, we will fulfill all of the Father's commandments. In other words, our Lord makes the love of God the foundation and the gateway to all other love. But we can't love someone whom we don't know except with the most general kind of love. Love of God, therefore, presumes some knowledge of God, and that is what I'd like to focus on this morning, knowing and loving God. There is a place in the core of our very being that belongs only to God and can be satisfied only by Him. Most Christians may not even be aware of this or vaguely aware of it. Perhaps you're familiar with St. Augustine's work spoken in the early 5th century. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Now, we can see this restlessness in everyday life. People run after many things, money and property and power and sex, in search of happiness and inner peace, but they don't find it there. We can only find it when we begin to get in touch with the very core of our being, that part of us that belongs only to God, and we need solitude in order to do that. Let's some comments about solitude. We understand the word to refer to being alone, but that's not the kind of solitude I mean. Throughout the 2,000 years of Catholic Christianity, the early hermits went out into the desert to find God, and the word took on the meaning of being alone with God. In other words, the essence of Christian solitude is being connected with God. When we experience aloneness, we're not connected with anyone. Solitude does not necessarily mean that there's no one around us. A person may experience solitude, that is, connectedness to God, even in a crowd. But in solitude, one is often actually alone. Solitude is basically a perception of the immense presence of God who fills everything within Himself. It might be comparing to swimming in an ocean as opposed to a pool. Water is deep and wide and immense. In solitude, we come to realize that we were born into God, and at the end of our lives, we will die into God. And in between those times, we are always with Him. And in other words, we grow in a knowledge and appreciation of Him. Now, God Himself recommended solitude to His followers. Recall those words of the gospel: whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Solitude is therefore a characteristic of the Christian life, a necessity on the road towards Christian maturity and holiness. In solitude, prayer becomes a force that changes our lives, and it represents the indispensable place for contact with God. Now, I realize solitude is often difficult, especially when one is raising a family. But as I've spoken to you before, the Lord knows your situation. And if raising a family or caring for a loved one takes most of your time, even a few moments of solitude produce the grace and the strength that those perhaps in a monastery might require after 4 or 5 hours of prayer. In our gospel passage, Jesus makes loving and therefore knowing God a basic requirement for discipleship. Solitude is the key to developing a personal knowledge and love for God. Sadly, many Christians stop at a generalized love of God. That is to say, they love God because he might be good to them or they feel particularly blessed. But it's only in solitude that we can know and love God in a personal way, and thus see God in others, which gives us the reason why we reach out to the abandoned or the poor or no one who can speak for them. In our first reading, the image is used of the widow and an orphan. In those days, if a man or a father or a husband was gone, the woman or the children, without someone to protect them, often went into a life of terrible poverty, even death. So the image of a widow and an orphan is essentially anyone who is neglected, who, as they say today, doesn't have a voice. Now today, the widow and an orphan, I'm convinced, are becoming more and more people who are just trying to live a good life, a moral life, a life that follows society's laws. The average family. Because all the time today, especially in the cancel culture, there is a destruction and an opposition to those things of God. Now, for Catholics, and I'm not speaking of the laity, I'm speaking of members of the hierarchy, clergy and religious, who, for example, are light on the life issues, especially the defense of the unborn, the aged, and the infirm, I often wonder, have they spent time in prayer asking God to guide and strengthen them in their appreciation and defense of human life? I would like to ask this of elected officials or politicians who claim to be Catholic, who even like being seen with certain bishops or religious order priests who hold views on these life issues. Again, especially the preeminent one, abortion. Where the views of these so-called clerical leaders resemble often Planned Parenthood rather than they do the church's teaching on the culture of life. Now, with the constant bombardment of noise and the addiction to technology in all its forms, we don't have solitude. What we have actually is isolation, and especially the connectedness with one another. And no doubt the COVID restrictions have deepened this isolation. And I suspect that's the major reason why so many people, especially young people, report feelings of despair, and there's a rise in reports of mental illness and sadly even suicide. This isolation, this lack of community, often provides the soil for depression and hate and division, where revenge becomes the motive for justice or violence is the response to violence. In our gospel, Jesus speaks about loving one's neighbor, and we're called to something more than demands of merely humanitarian love. Compassion that Jesus speaks of, that St. Paul speaks of in our reading, is a genuine concern for people in this life and their eternal life. And you and I are challenged to base our love for neighbor on the foundation of our love of God. And this can't be done unless we're willing, first of all, to encounter that silent place within ourselves that belongs to God alone. We'll have to let go of some of those things or some attitudes before we can do that. But it is in solitude that a personal love for God and others begins. Finally, I would like to quote from St. Alphonsus Liguria on hearing God in prayer. St. Alphonse writes, "Acquire the habit of speaking to God with familiarity and confidence, as to your dearest and most loving friend. Speak of your life, your plans, your troubles, your joys, your fears. In return, God will speak to you. Not that you will hear audible words in your ears, but words that you will clearly understand in your heart."